is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And next up, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. Let's bring them on to reintroduce themselves, their show, and what's up for today.
Hello, welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence, and we hold the power of perception. This power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical, the material, the metaphysical, and the physical, the supernatural, and the concrete, and the seen, and the unseen. Hi, I'm one of your hosts, Janessa Finley Ford. And as an empowerment coach, it's my mission to guide clients back home to themselves, to all that they are, turn obstacles into opportunities, setbacks into success, and trials into triumph. I cannot wait to talk for the next 55 minutes if it continues to go this way, but thank goodness SJ will be here to help break up my stumbling.
And I'm in the other half of Stronger Together. My name is SJ. I'm a certified crystal healer and shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner who marries together ancient wisdoms with that of more new age concepts like quantum physics. We are getting into rhythm and flow and how you find that, how you get into that groove and that jive, which admittedly for me has been a process. And I mean, it was literally this year that I found my peak time of inspiration to be Saturday mornings of when all of the downloads happen. But before we get into that, we always start out with a funny story, and I think Janessa has one to share with us today.
I have such an adorable story from college in my infinite wisdom of 19 years old. Taking psychology classes, have you guys had that professor whose reputation was, you know, they were incredibly hard as a professor, very, very picky, and of course you always wanted to make a good impression, not just the first impression, every impression with them, because every impression seemed to count. And I had a question after class. It was between classes, actually. I went up to her office, and she had someone else in her office, door was open, they were chit-chatting, whatever, and I was like, oh, hey, Dr. Walker, I just have a quick question. And whatever my question involved, it involved a study. And all I remember is I said the word placebo. I asked her about a placebo. And then it was a short time later, I'm sitting in class, and I heard her say the word placebo. And I had the realization that Hooked on Phonics had failed me. And the word that I read in my head in all of my psychology courses had translated into the word placebo, like I'm playing skip-bo cards or something. I felt so incredibly intelligent. And then, you know, personal development, growth, maturity, right? Being confident and comfortable in ourselves. Somewhere along the line, I read like a meme of something of like, I celebrate every time that I mispronounce a word because it means I'm an avid reader. So it's maybe not a word you hear, but you're expanding your vocabulary and you're reading. And that really set my nerd heart on fire. And so now I am proud of myself for having asked the question to the professor I so desperately wanted to impress and let them know I'm a smart, intelligent student by asking about a placebo.
Maybe this is where your gift of making up words stems from as well.
Well, you know, it's a lot safer to intentionally say a word that doesn't make sense to anyone else when you are creating words. I do love to create a good word. Like maybe we should combine rhythm and flow. Flow them. I don't know. Anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. And if anyone would like to call in, if you feel as though you could use some assistance or energy work around finding, falling into your rhythm and flow, or if you just have questions, you're welcome to hop on in here today. We'll take callers if there are any. As SJ shared, we are going to dive deeper into rhythm and flow, which I'm really excited about, since it is one of the universal laws, right? So we all have this rhythm and flow, and I covered it just in a like nanosecond in one of our episodes, but it's so important. We're going to dive deeper. So I know I have a laundry list of things I could say about this, but since I've already had the opportunity to introduce the topic in a separate episode, I'm going to hand it over to SJ and let her dive in.
Well, I think finding rhythm and flow is one of those things that is very specific to individual people. I think everybody does it differently. Everybody has their own flow. There's a couple of ways to help find it easier from a shamanic aspect. Certainly soul retrievals come up a lot when people are trying to find their rhythm and flow. When are they most creative? When are they in harmony with the universe? What are they here to do? I feel like all of those things come into rhythm and flow and how we really are in alignment with the universe and working with those energetics rather than outside of it or against it. Like you think, I think of flow and I think of, you know, walking with the current rather than trying to run against it and going literally nowhere as well. So when I'm thinking about that, like the soul retrievals from the shamanic aspects really helps us reclaim pieces of our souls that we have disassociated from, lost in this life, past life, perhaps even ancestral components that have been lost to us as well. And when you gather all of those pieces of yourself, you just become more of that puzzle is back together of your true authenticity, who you've always been, that soul puzzle just all comes together to where you can see it, read it, feel it, all of the things. And when you can do that, I think it's so much easier to figure out what your rhythm looks like and what your flow looks like. So soul retrieval is certainly one aspect of helping to find that rhythm and flow. I think there are a plethora of clues, though, within different modalities that were left. I know the human-centered design has a lot to talk about on how we all process, move through life differently. So that is one place to look. Astrology has a million things. I think even the Enneagram has a million keys that we can look at in finding our own specific rhythm and flow and what truly drives us and moves us forward passionately, creatively, and in alignment.
I totally agree with you. I know as we've talked about the Enneagram before, we talk about which personalities have the most force behind them, the doers, who represses their doing. There's so many different angles of that. And I am far from an expert in human design, but I have had my human design reading. I'm not sure if that's what you call them. Anyway, I was so delighted and also completely perplexed when they told me that it was my human design to work 10 hours a week. And so it's a goal I strive for. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. I also think that part of the adventure and mystery of being human is figuring out how to align ourselves with these designs that we have been created and or energetically shifting that pattern into something that really works for us. And so I've also held that inquiry. And as to date, I don't have a solid answer. Can I energetically shift my human designs from 10 hours of work a week, having the energy for in a natural state to 15 or 20? But I find it fun to explore those things and play with them. So yeah, human design is a very intriguing piece, I think, of the puzzle as well. on a very practical level, I like to also compare our human cycle, our human rhythm, to the seasons. So this is another place where we can really start to identify our own personal rhythms and cycles in a really physical, tangible way of what is natural to us in the first place. And so it's very easy to see the seasons in nature around us, and we are nature, so therefore the rules and laws of nature apply to us too. And we go through that similar cycle from growth to, we'll call it, dying away. And how long does that take us? You know, we're all so different. And so what is my rhythm is not going to be SJ's rhythm. What is my time frame is not going to be my parents' time frame. And that is a big part of learning who we are and then embracing the part of our personal cycle that isn't comfortable, you know? Like, newsflash, as humans, we are not designed to be comfortable 100% of the time. And for those of us who strive to just live in that blissed out state or state of comfort, I really would challenge the thought of being in emotional or spiritual bypass. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be coming undone, uncomfortable, but internally, being in a state of comfort 100% of the time is not actually where our expansion and growth happens. So from that aspect, what season, what of your personal season, if you look at your spring, summer, autumn, and winter, which one is least comfortable for you? And then learning and leaning into how do you get comfortable during those times? It's going to unlock some major keys for your personal empowerment in rocking your own rhythm and owning your own rhythm rather than saying, I should be further ahead, I shouldn't feel this way, I shouldn't be going through this. I shouldn't respond this way. We like to tell ourselves to not do a lot of things that are a part of just living.
Yeah, I think the seasons is a really good topic, too. I know for me specifically, summer is my least desirable season of the year, which I think a lot of people would be the opposite spectrum of that. Like, I feel the most inspired during winter. Not even fall and spring. I love fall and spring, but the inspiration for me typically comes in alignment during the winter months. I feel like some of that comes into just really being in that more contemplative, introspective state. Could also have just been my soul alignment with shamanic aspects and ancestral and genetic healing specifically, because I feel like, you know, when you hit that winter time here, you're really hitting those holidays and all of those ancestral family aspects all start to come up to where you're working through those. And I may have just been a push from the universe of this is where your focus should be and where the flow can be found in a manner that is harmonious and easy to lean into, which is interesting because I would describe the holiday season and family dynamics up until the past couple of years to not be the most comfortable situations to be in, but a ton of inspiration came through those trials of having to figure out how to manage family dynamics, how to move through that, how to move through our ancestral patterns and transform them as well. So tons of growth always happens for me during that time of year. There is a lot of people that were certainly mentors that had birthdays during that time of year. So November, December is kind of my jam. I feel like a ton of my closest friends were born during that time as well, which is just a weird coincidence of like my flow really likes November and December to find those connections as well. From like a chakra stance too of finding that rhythm and flow, I think it's really difficult probably to find your rhythm and flow in the here and now if those lower chakras are not in alignment as well. So that root sacral solar plexus, probably earth star as well. If those aren't kind of jibing and flowing and open to where you're receiving information through them, it's kind of going to be difficult to find that firm footing that is found within rhythm and flow, which is interesting because when we go through traumatic experiences or more difficult times that typically provide the most growth opportunities. those roots chakras specifically, those lower three, are the ones that usually take the hit first to kind of get us to recalibrate, rebalance, start walking in a little bit different of a step. I can't name necessarily one specific crystal to go to for rhythm or flow, because I think it's very personal of what do you need to find your rhythm and flow. Do you need safety and security to find it? Do you need inspiration? Do you need creativity? Do you need passion? Do you need drive? So it's a very intimately specific crystal that probably each individual person would need to tap into that. I think when we start getting into our flow and rhythm, though, we find a couple of crystals that always and forever jive with us of where we're connecting. Felicite, Janessa, I know is one of your favorites. I don't know if you ever use that for rhythm and flow or that divine inspiration. I can say for me, feeling, so tapping into how I actually feel about a topic, how someone else feels about it, Ocean Jasper, Colorado Amazonite, those are always going to be some of my main crystals to find that rhythm and flow, because for me, I need a more open connection within that heart chakra to really get underneath kind of that surface level layer of emotion within myself to see it. How do I actually feel about this topic, this path, this item, and where do I want to go with it?
Those are great recommendations. I was reflecting as you talked about felicite, and I definitely use it on the rare occasions when I'm feeling anxiety, because it balances me in that way so I can think more clearly to see my way through whatever I'm working through, because I don't experience anxiety on the regular at all. So it would help me fall back into flow in that regard. But, you know, as you were talking, and I'm going to take this out a little bit to like, you know, a 30,000 feet down looking perspective and then bring it back around full circle. But I think that, you know, for me personally, I used to think my rhythm was set by everything happening around me. So I had this work schedule and I needed to be to work at a certain time and I got off work at a certain time and I worked out and I was very regimented, and volunteering and social events and all of these things dictated my flow. It wasn't me getting in tune with myself. And so I think we have that tendency to get caught up in striving to meet these outside demands and obligations and commitments that we set. And we do forget that we have our own internal system and timing and rhythm. And so that's what I'm really challenging you as listeners out there to tune into and to think about and reflect. You know, have you ever gotten yourself so consumed and so busy with life and culture and society and friends and the doing that you lost track of what your own flow or rhythm was, or maybe just didn't know? Because I would say I didn't know until much more recently in my personal life. And so when we start stripping away our have-tos, ought-tos, shoulds, and start just really listening to, you know, gosh, my body feels so tired, I think maybe I should decline. That is one small step that actually allows and honors our own flow. And when we are working with our own energetics and our own rhythms, we'll start to see when we're most productive, if that's morning, if it's night. We'll start to see, you know, how long do you go in overdrive, so to speak, until you really need to shift into neutral. It's kind of a corny analogy because maybe we should live in neutral to truly be in flow anyway. But those are the things that you can start identifying and mapping within yourself. And I recently became really curious about how my, I like to call it like my ebb and flow, when things, there's a lot going on and then like the tide goes out and I have a period of rest, like universal, divinely guided rest. And I've become curious how that aligns with the lunar cycle. I don't have it completely mapped out yet, and I don't know if it's consistent, But there's, you know, the connection to the lunar cycle, which we've talked about in past episodes. So if you're curious in learning more about that and you didn't catch that episode, feel free to jump back and snag it and get more information on that, because that also can sync in with the female cycle. So there's so many cycles. This is one of the avenues that I wanted to get into eventually today here as well, is how many cycles are within each of us. There's a lot. It's not just one rhythm. It's not just one flow. We are a whole like ecosystem within ourselves of different rhythms, different cycles, and different seasons. And I love that SJ pointed out the winter for her is so comfortable, and she just likes summer. And for me, and we often are opposite in everything, which is, I'm sure, why we partner together so well. But I'm not really a big fan of winter. And I find in my own personal cycle that where I had the most resistance and where I had to give the most attention to be comfortable in all of my cycle and season was in that dormant, dying away phase. So the growth and the light and the heat and the harvest all are very cozy within me. And then when I move into more of the dormant and the rest and the pause, holy cow, that I felt like I was consistently doing something wrong by being. It was very, very challenging for me to embrace, but that is all part of our natural cycle and rhythm.
Yeah, also definitely, I think within just our general social structures too, deadlines are one of the best ways to step on our own rhythm and flow. And, you know, when we think about a lot of the jobs that we hold, those deadlines are super important for us to meet, got to get them on time, whether or not there is enough information, divine inspiration, doesn't matter, right? Like, you have to meet it by that deadline of 7 days or whatever it is. And oftentimes I think we do that even within our own personal rhythm and flow too, of I have to hit this creative step. I have to launch this course within 7 days. I have to set up this wedding party in 2 weeks. I have to. And when we lean into that, I have to, that's when we are literally walking against that current, which is what I was talking about earlier. We are fighting upstream for something that maybe if it's a fight to get it, maybe it's not in alignment. And that's one of those limiting beliefs that I have loved to get rid of for myself, which was everything worth having doesn't come easy. And if you didn't have to fight for it, it wasn't worth having in the first place. Why am I fighting for everything? Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we at war for absolutely everything to get? Like, these are the craziest limiting beliefs that we get instilled with, I feel, at a very, very young age. You know, some of my favorite things were the easiest to obtain. All I did was have a wish, and they poofed themselves into existence. My husband was one of those. I didn't fight for that. He literally walked through the door of where I was working, and it was easy to connect. It wasn't hard to have that connection. So some of my favorite things and experiences that I've ever had are those that I didn't fight for. And some of the ones that I regretted the most were the ones that I chose to fight to keep. So definitely, that's where I'm at.
Definitely see so many of our sayings, right? Like our catchy little phrases. we don't even think about what we're saying. And this is one of the, I'm going to talk more about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, in this episode more than I have in any of the past episodes. And this is one of the areas where I feel like NLP really, really shines, because it teaches you to pay so close of attention to the words that you're speaking and the language that you're using. And so this is a little bit off of rhythm and flow, but not really, because what you think is what you create. And I had someone say to me today, you know, well, I've always said no pain, no brain, no pain, no brain, no pain, no
gain, whatever that saying is, like, this is where I'm at with these things of, like, I don't want that to be my foundation of understanding. I can't even repeat it exactly correctly, but, like, I will take a brain and no pain, please, and I will take gain and allow it to be easy and in flow. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be painful. And so really looking at, when you're in casual conversation with your friends, the little catchy phrases that you're saying, or maybe it's easier to hear it in your friends first of what they're saying, and does that really speak to what you want to experience in life? Because even those things will help create, just like SJ was saying, you know, building that belief system around the things that will create flow naturally and easy for us. We're not working for it. We're not striving, and being in a state of an alignment. So also with NLP, while I'm on the topic, NLP talks about our internal clocks. And I found this to be incredibly fascinating. And it even maps out the length of, you know, like up to 1 year, 1 to 3 years, 3 to 5 years, 5 to 7 years. And so we have these internal clocks running, and maybe it's on the house that you live in, the car that you drive, your relationship, how often you need a vacation and travel. Like, and this goes back to that inner ecosystem that we have, that we're made up of so many different rhythms. One of the most apparent clocks that I personally had running was relationship. For me, it was 3 years. People made it to 3 years and things started breaking down super quick. And then there would be the breakup, get back together thing, because the breakup would reset the clock. Oh my gosh. Like, how can you break up and get together with someone 3 years for the rest of your life? Like, that sounds like a horrible idea. So when I talk about not being sure if my human design can be reset from 10 hours of work a week to 15 and natural flow, divine flow, I do know that NLP clocks can be worked with and interrupted, because I interrupted mine. That 3 years was when my relationship clock needed reset, and that was not going to work out well for a long-term relationship by any means. So if you think about how often do you get a new vehicle or a new job, a different position, maybe with the same employer, a different employer, going back to school, taking another course, getting another certification, all of these things you might actually be able to map into a specific internal clock of when you feel like you need that refresher. And so there are some little hacks I'm going to throw out there while we're on the topic quickly about how you can reset your clock without, you know, for instance, I'll use the house, without having to buy a new house. So you can do a house project instead. You can move rooms around. You can do something that creates this fresh new feeling to get that clock to reset and start over versus feeling like you need to move all the time. And I had my eyes opened so widely when I learned this, because I had a couple friends who would get a different vehicle nearly every year. And I assumed, before I became so aware of the things I know now, but at the time I assumed that they just really liked new shiny objects all the time. And it was not actually a keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing at all. They legitimately had a 1 year clock. And when 1 year was up, it was time to have another new vehicle. So these are the rhythms and flows that you can find within yourself, and then determine if it's really working for you, especially some of these clocks within relationships aren't always super supportive of the relationship. So you can start identifying what is supportive for you and or your partner and what isn't, and work to interrupt it, do energy work to reset it, to recalibrate it, so that you don't need a new life partner every 3 years, because
Let me tell you, dating someone new every 3 years, it gets old after a while.
It seems like a rhythm or pattern you might want to get rid of. Or at least disrupt.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that rhythm and flow is one of those, too, that it can shift and it can change as well as we grow, as we age. I think sometimes the rhythm and flow that we have when we're younger versus when we start to come into, you know, maturity, even teenage years, it changes. I mean, I think back to all of the things that I did as a teenager, all of those priorities, all of the obligations, but also they didn't necessarily feel like obligations. They were things that I wanted to be doing. There is no way that at this point in my life that would ever be my natural rhythm and flow now. So I think it's one of those things, too, that it shifts and it changes as we age and as we grow as well, of what that rhythm and flow can look like. And it took me a while to realize that oftentimes I am in rhythm and in flow even when I'm doing nothing. Doing nothing is actually doing something. Even if that is just allowing those divine inspiration downloads, that is still being in rhythm and still having flow. Even if I'm not typing them into a course or marketing them to the masses or doing Facebook Lives and Reels and all of those things, if I'm getting all of those downloads, even if it's personal growth and not business related, is still me being within my own flow and rhythm and is a necessary process. We can't be running 100 miles an hour every day, all day, at all hours, and never have that downtime to allow our physical bodies to relax. I think that's one of the hardest aspects sometimes of being a soul, having a human experience, is realizing that there is a physical body that we are working with within this time and space in the here and now that has to have consideration within that downtime and that rest, rather than that soul level drive of like, go, 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 got to get it all done on a tight schedule, all these things. To where oftentimes if we disregard the physical aspects of what we are doing here, we can kick ourselves out of rhythm and flow when we're only focusing on the spiritual side too.
Yeah, that's a really great point. We're not just singular faceted. I think it shows up most often in how we show up physically. And so we can really separate ourselves from that aspect of ourselves. I was just reflecting on, as I'm finding my words, a client that really struggled with being on time because they would meditate, get lost in the ethers, astral travel. Thank you. Gosh, I was like projectile. It's like I was combining projectile vomiting and astral traveling. And I'm like, I'm not saying it out loud, but then I'll say it out loud to make fun of myself. So yes, they would astral travel and have all these great stories to tell, but then in the physical weren't getting to work on time. You know, like these things are really wreaking havoc and causing issues in their job, in their life, in the physical. And that is, you know, one of the reasons why we really are more empowered when we're paying attention to all aspects of ourselves. I was also reflecting back to a little bit on the Enneagram. So as a kid, I would wake up, especially if things were bothering me, like maybe at 4 a.m., and I'd be awake. And then in my 20s, I would want to stay up late at night and sleep in, and that was a lot of fun. And then I got into my 30s, and for my job, for parking and my lifestyle, I wanted to be off work in early mid-afternoon, and so I would go to work by like 5:30, 5:45. And that transition was not easy. Literally, I would go to the lunchroom every day for lunch, and I would set my timer, and I would sleep for 15 or 20 minutes because I was just so tired. My body couldn't adjust to going to bed earlier, and so I wasn't getting enough sleep. But eventually it shifted. And now, like you had mentioned in the very opening, my most inspired time is early in the morning. And to really be in my rhythm and flow, it is with the sun. So I will wake up earlier during the summer and I will sleep later in the winter. And I will want to go to bed later in the summer and go to bed earlier in the winter. So there's even like the part of the year where I'm sleeping more and then the part of the year where I'm sleeping less. And I don't necessarily feel tired at any part of the year. I'm just living in that regular cycle with this, you know, the sun and all of that. So then to tie in the Enneagram, it has been very common in my family when it comes to like odd sleeping patterns of labeling it like, oh, you got the Finley blood. That's just the Finley thing. But my dad and I are both Enneagram 1s. And then I love observing your daughter, Scarlett, and hearing you talk about nap time and sleep and the weirdo stuff that comes out when we're so tired. Like, we're so tired, we just go into this bouncing, like, jovial, odd, goofy laughter, like, do anything to move our body to stay awake so it doesn't fall asleep phase. And so, yeah, seeing that in a young child, Enneagram 1, I'm like, I think there's a connection here about how our rhythms flow.
Yeah, for sure. Within that Enneagram is definitely apparent. My son is a 7 like I am, and our sleep schedules often can mirror each other. We don't require as much sleep as like their dad does in order to function. Scarlett thinks she can function on no sleep whatsoever. Like, she will sleep when she is dead is probably her motto when she grows up. Definitely that fighting of sleep is real within that Enneagram 1 stage too. But then just looking even at like how they wake up, like, she is definitely not inspired right away when she wakes up. Like, she needs herself a hot moment to come back together and then be herself, you know, within about 20 minutes. Like, it's about 20 minutes and then she is on point again, normal, Scarlett, happy, doing all the things, ready to go. Whereas, you know, Everett, right away when he wakes up, he's pretty, like, even keeled, like, all right, I don't know that I want to chat, but I'm pretty good. I can go do the things that I need to do and be okay with that. And then you reverse it at night. Like, he does not want to chat it up at night. He would love to just sit by himself and watch TV, whereas she's over there like a chatty Kathy. So, like, their rhythm and flow is super, super different. And I do kind of wonder if it's not tied to the Enneagram structures. I see a lot of the same similarities with my dad and myself, who are also Enneagram 7s. My mom is an Enneagram 6 and just loves life from the moment she opens her eyes. And I'm not really certain how she can stay that way for the duration of the day into the night until she goes to sleep. But like, her flow, I think, definitely comes together in community. And you see her flourish when she has that community aspect, that connection of another person to talk with, be with, do the things with. You can see her just open and flourish within her own flow when she has people around her, you know, at her daycare with her kids and things like that. So even looking at those aspects too, people talk a lot about introvert, extrovert. I don't know how much I buy into it. I think we all have a little bit of both within us, and it also is dependent a bit on the circumstances, but you can really see people who find their flow by being with other people. They're divinely inspired by other humans, whereas other people, and definitely say myself, feel a lot more divinely inspired when I'm in silence, when I'm in my internal atmosphere, rather than being exposed to other people. While I enjoy being around other people, I don't know that I feel a ton of like downloads, inspirations all coming in really hot and heavy within that. But flow is interesting, and it's almost one of those things that you can see almost immediately when someone is in it. And we've said it a couple of times now too, right? Like, oh, I'm tired, or I was tired. Tired for me is one of the first like physical signs of bro, you are not in flow or rhythm right now. You need a nap. You need water. You need to eat some real food. You need to do something, because this right here is not something where you're going to have that universal oomph behind it. Because right now the universe is like, girl, go take a nap, wash your hair, do something like that. But yeah, tired, I feel like, is one of those first physical indicators of I'm not hitting my stride. I am not in it. What for you is one of those indicators? Is tired kind of one for you, or is there another indicator of I'm out of it?
Well, I think that Enneagram ones are amazing at just, you know, we keep going and going and going. We're the secondary energizer bunny in the Enneagram, secondary to the eight. That they will bang their little drum in their little bunny suit right off the cliff. I feel like frustration and agitation, and that's one of my biggest signs that I'm out of flow. If I get to that point, I know I'm just completely trying to force something. But I also have an internal response when you're talking about, like, oh, go take a nap. I'm like, gross. Like, we don't nap. And I, like, we being me, I'm not saying we collectively like other people, but naps are not, like, if I take a nap, there's really something awry in my life. And then also speaking to the Enneagram types, my husband, and I see this some with my mom, and I think you lean to that tendency too with the seven of like, oh, I have to stay up late, no big deal. Like for me personally, that reset when I had that job, I feel like that actually aligned me into my natural rhythm of wanting to get up in the morning. I don't want to do a thing after 8 p.m., including really be on the phone with a friend or family member. Like 8 o'clock, I am in my internal space too. But if I don't get enough sleep, I also don't want to take a nap the next day. Like that's not really a thing. I just want to do my day and live and then sleep at night. And so that's a really powerful rhythm within me of, there's very, very limited daytime sleep. If the sun's up, you're up. Where with Travis, he'll wake up and he is so like, we're at the rave. Let's get the day going. And I'm happy. And like, he's such a delight to wake up to in the morning. And I'm so internal in that process too. Like Scarlett, definitely give me 20 minutes, maybe 30. And then sure, I'll talk, I'll engage, whatever. But until then, I need a little personal time. So yeah, those are some of the patterns that I really see in the people around me that align with Enneagram, and pulling myself, or that's not really it can be pulling myself. If I go there, the biggest way that I pull myself out of flow will be with my own expectations, which lead to disappointment. Setting standards for myself that I should be meeting or achieving or having done, and just simply not listening to my body. And I'm not saying like, oh, my body's tired. Like, I mean, listening to my body, if I think about doing something and it feels really heavy and dense in my body, right now might not be the time, because I've learned the things that I don't enjoy doing, the things that I need to allot time to learn how to do something. Like if we're talking tech, for instance, there's going to be some assistance from Google that's going to happen. So it's not so much just sit down and do the task, but I also have to allow the space and time to learn. If I don't do that, and I think I'm just going to sit down and figure something out really quickly, then the frustration comes. And I know as soon as I'm in frustration that I'm not doing something right. So it's a pretty common clue for me personally. I did prepare a few mindset affirmations for people to work with to get into flow. And I also love that you talked about rest earlier and that the being is doing something, because a little bit of this piggybacks on that concept or reinforces it as well. So one mindset affirmation that you can work with is, I'm right where I'm meant to be.
And this is really taking into consideration that time is a part of our flow. We might want something right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come. And so when we start making judgments around, and this is where when my expectations come into play, things get messy, but when we make expectations around we're too slow, we're not doing something right, we're not where we're meant to be, you're out of flow state real quick. Like, that's it. It just takes 1 second of believing that you're not where you're meant to be, and you will not be in flow. So also along that theme is everything is happening right on time. Everything is happening right on time. Like, it's so empowering to give yourself permission that you can't actually screw it up, because if everything's happening right on time, even the learning process of something, even the redoing process of something, everything's right on time. And then the last thing that I wanted to share with this was around the fact that rest doesn't actually equal productivity. So for me, this was a big buy-in to my flow that if I rest, I can be way more productive. And I can remember, even from a functional medicine standpoint, coaching people who needed to move their body for their physical health, that it would benefit them, attempting to sell it as, hey, if you get up from your desk and you go take a 10-15 minute break for your 15-minute break and you go for a nice walk, get outside, enjoy the fresh air, you're going to get more done when you come back. And I think research actually shows that's true. But it also creates this tethering and linking that if I rest, then I'm going to be more productive, which is not actually what our flow state is about. Resting is honoring our being, and resting actually allows us to be in a different vibration. And it's that vibration that attracts, with the law of attraction and all of the laws of the universe and energy and transmutation, it's that vibration that's going to attract the things that it is that you actually want or want to create. And so the power is truly in the being state, and that rest is being, which is exactly what SJ was talking about. But for people like me, the doers, the Enneagram 3s out there, like, we're all going to sell ourselves on the concept that, okay, I'm going to rest, and I'm linking that to the payout, but I'm going to be really productive on the other side of the rest. And that's not what we're talking about here with rhythm and flow. So those are my mindset tips for you guys to lean into as you explore your rhythm and flow and what is your natural cadence for life.
And then just a couple of crystal recommendations to help you get that clarity on how to find it, how to find that rhythm and flow, what feels good to you, what do you want to be doing, what time is the best time to be doing. I would move into something like scapolites. Scapolites are amazing for, honestly, anybody within the healing community aspect. If you're working with the public, I love scapolite for figuring out how to connect with the collective consciousness, with the here and now. So scapolite would be my first recommendation. And then the next one would be a fluorite. And specifically, I love Diana Marie fluorites. They're kind of a green and blue, which they really connect in with both the heart and the mind, from those aspects too of what feels good to you and what do you think, like, what do you think about and what are those items that really set you on fire? Those Diana Marie fluorites are amazing to just get clarity on who am I? Like, who am I? What am I doing? What is the aspect of me that is most in alignment, when and where, and how to move through it as well? I know for me personally, from the Enneagram 7 stance, I think oftentimes my personality structure is part of what pulls me out of my own flow and rhythm, because God forbid I miss out on something or not get to experience something. So I will say yes to things that I probably shouldn't and that I don't really, really want to do. And within that, the overextension happens to where I'm out of my own flow. I don't have any time to do the things that I actually want to be doing when I want to be doing them. I feel rushed. I feel restricted. Sometimes I feel like I have to be on a schedule, which I deplore. Scheduling my intuition, scheduling my creativeness is not my specific flow. None of those things can necessarily be scheduled for me. But what I've often found within finding my own rhythm and flow is that if there is something that I know is a divinely guided experience, is asking for myself to be able to do or complete or assistance from those spiritual aspects to be able to get in harmony with the universe on some sort of a timeline, though. And I kind of cringe a little bit at that, right, because there's no time within energetics, and some of the time-limiting beliefs can come into play with those deadlines as well. But we are also living in that physical body, this physical expansiveness that does sort of have to live within time as well, even though the soul doesn't. So trying to marry all of those aspects of the physical and the spiritual together to be able to move into rhythm and flow in the here and now is certainly something that I really think that Diana Marie Fluorite and even Scapolite can really help us transition into in a lot more harmony and ease as well.
Crystal goodness. Thank you for all of that wisdom. Love it. So as we move to the top of the hour,
we have Stronger Together this month is going to be focused on rhythm and flow. So if you want to join us, the next call is this Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time, where Janessa will be leading us. And then the fourth Thursday of this month, I will be leading that group call. We will be looking at aspects of soul retrieval, along with a couple of other new items that I'm going to introduce to the group this month as well to help us all find that rhythm and flow and our natural harmonics as well, and really breaking free from some of the patterns that can come from harmonics and those natural rhythms too, so that we come into alignment with those universal energies. We also have a couple of items. Janessa had an amazing inspirational month offering as well that we did. So if you want to tap into that, that's within our Stronger Together community, as is an offering coming up next week to change your life in 7 days with 7 rays. So we'll be working with those spiritual rays to release a lot of those patterns that are holding us back as well.
And if we happen to have any listeners local, we will be in Kearney, Nebraska this weekend for a really awesome event. Eshe is going to lead a drum circle. I'm so excited for her. And we're also going to be giving a presentation on energy healing 101. So there's lots going on at that event. There's lots of other providers, lots of other modalities. It's a great, if you wanted to have a sample of something that you aren't sure you want to fully jump into a full session first, you get to have the little mini experimental sessions. So it's good stuff. And it's a great place for adventure and exploration. Next week back here, in this same place and space and time, I will be joined with a guest. Her name is Rebecca. And we are going to backtrack in time, sort of, and talk about some options that exist for some of the previous radio shows I've done regarding the straw man and the monetary system. And so if you haven't heard those shows yet, and you want to have the full picture of what spiritual equity actually ties into and gives you empowered options for, jump back to the monetary system or the straw man episodes that were released this past summer. And then next week will make a lot more sense to you. But Rebecca will be here. We're going to talk about spiritual equity. It's going to be awesome. And until then, keep your eyes wide open.